Okay, thanks for the explanation, that's good, very detailed. Council may have some questions. Councilor Keckner.
So we did receive some correspondence from a representative on Fox Farm Road, and I'm just wondering, have they seen this updated proposal, and have you received any feedback in regards to what's being proposed currently compared to what was proposed previously?
So that's a reply to my proposed stuff, and as you can see, what they submitted does not have anything to do with purchase of that lot. There's only one section, which actually for some reason claims that if I buy this lot, I will build closer to the road, which is, I mean, doesn't make any sense to me. That opposite to why I'm doing it, that's why I mentioned at the very beginning. Looks like I did not make a good job of communicating why I'm purchasing it, and the only driver behind it, that's really what I explained. Everything else, any other concern, is really a misconception whose legal advice completely debunked. So again, they claimed that it's like a different pieces, there's no waterfront. It's irrelevant to this discussion, but Mr. Howard Bruce Oldham from a real estate lawyer from Perry Sound clearly stated that it's one piece, there's a waterfront, and a similar approach was taken by previous planner, Mr. Oggs, I believe, when he actually, he retired, but I mean...
The clerk administrator, Sean Boggs.
Yeah.
He wasn't the planner, right? Clerk administrator.
But anyway, so like the concerns outlined there, it's a personal opinions, and that's really what previous owner told us. They were kind of intimidated by all these personal opinions, which made it very difficult for them, and that's the main reason why before purchasing that property, we hired lawyers, we obtained all the legal advices, all the planning advices, because we wanted to actually get to the bottom of reality, not perceptions built up over the years based on somebody's opinion. And now we attached these documents to that motion. But going back to my point, so that's really the main driver. I'm not sure. I was under the impression that the community will be behind it, because obviously the community will benefit the most out of this move. Financially, McKellar Township will benefit as well, but I mean, that's why I decided to come and actually present it myself and answer any potential questions anybody might have. Because in my mind, it was nice community-based contribution, but looks like it was accepted differently based on perceptions built over the years. Hopefully, this legal reply will clarify a lot of stuff, plus my clarifications will also debunk some of this stuff.
So the portion that of the original road allowance that you're proposing to purchase is just that blue stretch.
Correct.
And any dwelling would be built on someplace north or south of the right way that's extended?
Again, it has, based on the fact, even right now it has multiple places where dwelling can be built, but most likely it's going to be on a upper or lower side from that extended right away. You're correct.
Does this create enough space to build two dwellings?
I mean, based on this build 23, I mean, it's allowed three, I guess. We're not planning to build three. But my point is, it has like 4 acres or something. I don't want to go there because we're not planning to build more than one, essentially. But technically, as even right now, without this extension, at least three places will allow for some kind of smaller, but still.
Is there enough room on the little yellow corner at the top?
No. That's a waterfront piece. It does not have enough space. It definitely, we're planning to put like a small shed for pedals and life jackets, because that's where waterfront is. But other than that, no, it definitely does not have enough space to build this. And we're not planning to build there anything anyway.
Councilor Hassman.
Yeah, I may be a little bit confused, but you say by the time you have 4 acres approximately, you're saying?
Something like that, yeah.
So is it land beyond the, is it not just the yellow portion that you own?
Would you mind to go back to that's what lawyers send. That's a picture from a lawyer along with a letter. That's my land. Like all yellow, it's all my land.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
4 acres. It just doesn't look like 4 acres.
Exactly. So again, that's the misconception we try to get. So people assume that because road or road allowance or not like a road allowance zigzagging through my property, it's not my property. It's still my property. This road goes through my property. And as part of the right of way, they can actually use it, but it is completely owned by.
Yeah, because a concern I would have that in granting and selling this road allowance to join on to his property, as long as it's not like we're creating a non-conforming lot, like that maybe doesn't meet our, you know, when we do have consent applications, you know, we have minimal size lots, minimal size frontages. I'm just wondering, is that what we're creating here, or does it even matter, I guess, is a question I would have. But because I kind of looked at it and thought, well, wow, is that even 1 acre? It, at least kind of what I, when I look at it, but is there calculations currently that the for the lot area?
The lawyer did not send a total lot area. He just marked the parcels on the registered plan that was owned.
Right, because it'd be nice to calculate the square footage, and which I'm sure could be done, and then we could calculate acreage from there. Because I'm just wondering, yeah, do we actually, if it's beyond 1 acre, which is kind of what we like to have, well, then I don't have any issues, but...
it's definitely beyond 1 acre. So it's 1,000 feet long. So
oh, 1,000 feet long?
It's very long.
Oh, okay.
But it is split up, and this is a confusing
it's
part.
It's not split up, it's zigzag with right of way,
well,
but it does not split up the property.
Right, but you're not going to build on the right of way, is what I'm saying.
You're not allowed
so it is
to
split
build.
Up.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay, Councilor Peck.
So it looks like on the other image with the blue and the yellow, so north of the right of way, approximately 2 acres, and then south of the right of way, a little less than 2 acres.
Yeah.
Concern I have in all of this, I know you talked about the other people in there and like widening their private road. It looks like they'd have to come to you anyway if they want to widen in one direction, because you own it right up to the road allowance.
The problem, I mean, I don't mind supporting that. I support this wholeheartedly. The only thing is, if I build right now, I won't be able to move my house.
Right.
And that's really the challenge. I can build. I mean, there is nothing enough, to your point, there is enough square acreage, there is not enough setbacks from every possible setback where it needs to be. So I can build it right now. But if I build right now without that right-of-way purchased and not moving the house slightly inland, whatever,
right.
Then it will completely jeopardize future ability to actually turn this road into municipal road. And that's really the main driver behind here. So that's my problem.
Now the other consideration council has to look at is the official plan. I have the section anyway. Our past policy has been any road allowance is 709.1 in the official plan, access to lakes. And this road allowance does lead to Lake Manitowoc.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, it does. You go right straight down, and then for some reason when they surveyed this, they make a sharp left as you're going in, so they go straight east, and that's still Fox Farm Road. So it leads right into past Lot 25, and it goes right to the water.
So it used to be a creek, but now the beaver created a dam, and there was like a puddle, essentially. But if you look at the plan, and that's, again, that's we spent some time, quite some time, as a lawyer to confirm, because he actually went through multiple pieces, and to confirm that this property goes to the Lake of Manitowoc, which he confirms, he also investigated that piece as well. And on the right here, where is this?
So we need a larger map.
So, so even if you don't mind, so. That's the lake.
I'm picking up the other end.
Right. Oh, if you would you mind scroll down a little bit?
Down to the bottom.
Scroll down again. One more. Inward. Here you go.
Yeah, touches
so,
right there.
So that's what it, that's what lake is. And regardless, I'm not trying to. So that's really where
No, no, but what I'm saying is if you take down the other end of your property,
Oswald?
There's another road that goes out, a road allowance that goes out to Lake Manitowabing. It's
beyond here?
Right, goes out this way, to the east,
sure.
And it's also Fox Farm Road. For some reason, they made a right-hand turn there, and it goes right out. If you go straight across, you're into the camera
road. Absolutely right. So, like this road right now, so like that's the only section where they actually deviated from road allowance. Now it turns, you're
right.
Absolutely right. They built the actual road there,
right.
And it goes beyond, like, probably a kilometer. It might actually...
It's always the road allowance. There's a Luigi Lane that's in there.
Exactly.
That's where it starts to turn off the road allowance.
Right.
And there are other four lots that were developed from the camp.
You absolutely
That was off to the right, and that's off the road allowance. But there is a road allowance that's still, it's not opened, but it leads right to Lake Manitowabing across from it.
It's probably...
My concern is, what they've done when they built this road, they came in on the road allowance, as far as they could, and then they swerved over to private property.
Yes.
Then they came back onto the road allowance.
Correct.
And so my concern is, all of that is private now for anybody else, except the people who have a right-of-way. That private part is private. And yet the public part is still where they cross the road allowance. People can still access that. It's not really part of the private road. Even though they built the road, that's public property on the road allowance. And what you're doing by buying all this is taking their access, if they wanted any access, to the lake, they can no longer do that because that's a private road now. They can't access public property. So by buying this up, and what we try to do is avoid selling any property that leads to water for those people who aren't on water and need access. And so that's a concern we have, certainly we have to look at. If we close up and sell a road allowance that leads to water, we ask for something in return. Something else that leads to water. We just ran through it at the last council meeting. So in this case, there's no alternative. People would have to stop as soon as they left the Fox Farm Road and started onto the private road. They can't go any further on that road.
And there is a reason why they build this way, because it's a cliff. It's it's a sheer cliff right here. They couldn't use it. They had to go around because it's impossible. Not only, it's just, you got the pictures, it's just a cliff. That's the main reason why they deviated from an open road allowance, and it's not definitely it's not an access way. No, unless you're a rock climber, then it's the only way.
Okay.
And that's why I have no problem cutting it short, because it's this piece is absolutely useless. It's just a cliff. I mean, we can go as close here as possible, but I mean, my point is, it's definitely not a viable access to the lake, even though you mentioned it's like 2 kilometers from that point, but even this one is impossible.
Well, just personally, I'd never say impossible, because I mean, when they build highways, they look for the rock cliff so they can use the stone, and they go right through the middle of it. I'm sure you come up Highway 400 and see the rock faces. So it's not impossible. It's improbable, you're right. I mean, who would build the road back in there? But my only concern is cutting off the public from accessing any of that road allowance that's in there. And so I'll put it out to council. You know what our policy is as far as keeping a road allowance to water rather than closing it off. My concern is that, and people have experienced this walking back in there. You can walk so far because you're on the public road allowance, but then as soon as you go on to the private section, that road, you can't be there. The property owners can actually kick you off. And so that's a concern that I have. Fox Farm Road always had access. Well, they wouldn't walk over the cliff. You're right. They were probably walking on private property at some point,
right,
to go around the cliff. But.
And it's only that section is deviating. You're absolutely
right.
So then it goes back to...
the road allowance. Yeah.
Exactly. So essentially we're talking about probably 200 meters. And I'm sure members of Fox Farm Road will not oppose if people will go 200 meters on a private road to Lake. I don't think a lot of people will go through that unopened road.
No.
It's just, but you, I see your point.
Yeah, they just wouldn't have an opportunity because it's a private road. So
once again, if it's enforced, then probably yes, but it's not, I don't think it's reasonable to assume that people will enforce that if somebody will cross 200 meters on the road. Doing that,
it has happened. That's the reason I say it.
But
whether the people knew or not, but they have actually told people to leave the private property when they were walking back there. So that's a concern I have of cutting off access for people going in there. And that private road may, as I say, I'm not even sure if the owners in there realize that that private road has public access at the beginning and at the end. It's not all a private road, even though in our report tonight it says it's a private road. It has some public portions to it that the public can actually access. Generally, it's a private road. We don't have anything to do with it. We don't maintain it. It's not, but in a sense, the road allowance, the part where the road is township property. They never purchased that I know of. So I think it's still open. And I think that has to be clarified, where the road actually goes. And I'm not sure, other than this survey that we have here, I'm not exactly sure where the road allowance is in relation to your rock face that you talk about. Is there any distance between the rock face and your property that's still road allowance? I'm not sure. Or whether your property goes right up to the rock face and the whole rock face is the road allowance. I'm not sure. I'd have to see something that would prove that the whole road allowance is rock. I don't know if it is. So.
I mean, I can take a picture. But I mean, it's... But nevertheless, again, I see your point. So again, but at the same time, so road to access, go back to public road, which you made a valid point is available, and yeah.
Yeah. I'm not. So you're worried, Dave, about this section right here, right, being cut off. I took a drive in the other day, and I'm telling you, it is just rock cuts, so as far as anybody ever accessing that, I don't think
you'd have to see it for yourself, right?
Oh, I did. I drove in. Okay. That's what I'm saying. That it's a rock cut, the actual blue. I don't know for a fact that it is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Now, where would you plan on building on this parcel once if we sold it?
The argument, let's say here.
How, to me, it's all like really steep rock cut, isn't it? All crack along there?
It is right here, but this one is on top.
Okay, so it brings up the question too, is like we try to avoid people putting in driveways that are that a car will not go up, you know, in bad weather kind of thing. So I don't know if we should have, if a driveway permit should be... It could be a condition of the sale, like to prove that a driveway can be accessed on the.
So this
property.
One is a hill. This one is on top of the hill.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much, it's not level, but it's very.
Yeah. So you have to access
exactly
down
here.
There. Yeah. Not
for sure.
Up at the
well, obviously
top.
Not here. It's
right.
All cliff here.
Yeah.
But access will be from here.
Oh. Yeah.
And it's
okay.
All level because it's the top of the hill, and you're driving from top of the hill to the top of the hill. Essentially.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I did see that portion. Yeah, that.
And we actually we brought, as part of the due diligence, brought a couple of builders to say, okay, said, yeah, absolutely, no problem bringing any equipment, no problem building there. I mean, obviously, pending.
So yeah, go ahead, Councillor.
So entrance permits, those are just on municipally. Or is that applicable on private roads, entrance permits?
No.
Not something we can enforce.
No.
Probably not.
And then on the north end of the blue block there is access. So that's all township road allowance from there back to Lakeshore Road.
Right.
So there is access to Manitowabing at that...
at that point, yeah. Not at the
point,
other end. That's
but
all.
Not on the other end.
So... I'm just saying, anybody going in, you have the Solway property that's being sold and developed on the left-hand side. That's part of Lot 25, I think, in further. So they would access down the road allowance, and then they have a road that goes off. The camp property, or I guess it was, I don't know who actually owned that, but M&B Investment, I think, they had four lots developed on the right-hand side of the road allowance, right at the water. You can't see it on that map. Mm.
I know, but the good news is, because I mean, I'm kayaking myself, for me it's very important so as well. So right here, if you don't mind, just go over there.
Hello?
Yeah, perfect. So right here, it is still municipal road, so
right.
And access to water is available from here. It's not ideal, but it's definitely way better than climbing through the cliff rock.
Yeah.
So again, because I pull my kayak down here and then I actually build. Anyway, my point is it's definitely accessible and it's public. To your point, I mean, I actually scouted for public access to the lake because, I mean,
yeah.
I can read a lot. So again, this one is definitely accessible to the public when it comes to accessing the lake. And to your point, it is on public road, even though it's built by...
Right.
But prior to that, it's private.
Yes, private signs starts right here. Right here. There is a sign, private road. Because it deviates slightly, but access to water is widely available. It's right before.
It's unfortunate. We're looking at a flat map here. It'd be nice to actually be on location and see some stakes. Because even when that road was built, we always said it's their responsibility, the people building the road, that they remain on the township road allowance unless they want to veer off. But they're the ones responsible for surveying to know where the allowance was. The township never went back and said, this is a road allowance. We've surveyed it. So they were responsible. Even now, it's difficult to visualize. Even though I did drive in the other day to look at that, without knowing exactly where the boundaries are, the stakes, that's why I question how much of that road allowance, you say it's all impassable. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know the actual width of the road allowance, the 66 feet.
Yep.
I don't know if that takes in all of the rock face and it leaves something that's still available, or if it's all rock face, I don't know. You're saying it's all rock face.
It is, but even even if you pass that rock face, you have to walk 2 kilometers to your point through woods to reach the lake, which is 2 kilometers from that point, but you can access it essentially right there.
Right.
And it's through public road, so definitely you can access it legally without trespassing up to here. Technically, some adventurous guy can climb the rock and walk 2 kilometers to get to the lake right there. But I hope benefits of selling that piece and the whole neighborhood will benefit from it, as well as the township of Makela, outweigh the benefits to somebody really weird who would like to go 2 kilometers instead of just going.
Other questions from council? Give them a second to digest it, really. Okay, hold that over enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate to put Carly on the spot, but there is a staff report here, and Carly has summarized it very well. At, I guess at the end of it, we sometimes will look for a staff recommendation or whatever, but... I guess, Carly, overall, on paper, I guess it... You feel there's nothing wrong with this, with the selling of the road allowance, or are you just assuming to leave that up, totally up to, you don't have a recommendation either way then, eh?
This would just be advice. I mean, you're the decision maker, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know whether she wants to be put on the spot.
So in the previous staff report, we recommended a survey just to ensure what properties the applicant owned. He has done his due diligence and went to his lawyer, and we have received confirmation for what he owns, so now the township does have information to make an informed decision. It's hard not to put opinions into this matter, but it's ultimately up to the decision of council as to what they want to do, either sell or...
Okay, thank you.
Or if council has conditions or recommendations as to what else they want to see before processing the application, like we can be open to that as well.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of, Dave has obviously is got concerns, and I do too. Is it unheard of to actually have a site visit and go try to determine exactly where?
I would certainly feel more comfortable to actually look at the lay of the land and to know where, if there are survey sticks there. I don't know if there are or not.
So that we definitely will survey it at the end of the process if you guys decide to. So we already obtained, as I mentioned, as part of the due diligence, obtained the quotes and for to survey that one. I mean, we can extend survey up to whatever, but it's at the end of the process if you guys decide to sell. Because again, at this stage, as I mentioned to Carolyn, we would like to proceed with that application just to make sure future growth of the neighborhood is possible. We don't need it for our build, and if it's very expensive or very complicated, then it's kind of challenging. Yes, it will jeopardize future of the neighborhood, but at the same time, spending $10,000 just to clarify stakes, if they're not there, then it's kind of in advance of decision, it's kind of not the way we'd like to go. But we definitely would like to support the process as a process with similar purchases, and we consulted with some of the folks who went through this purchase with you.
Can you move that down a little bit here? I was just wondering, at the water there, down.
No, pull it down.
To the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There.
Is that survey stake there that you have seen? That one there? Is
this
it?
One?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's there.
It's in a sheer wall. It's actually, it's a red.
Okay, red, drilled into the rock.
Drilled into the rock on the face of the rock,
Yeah, we could.
So you could measure from there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could figure it out and determine then whether that's access to continue on that road allowance is ever possible.
Yeah, I'd feel more comfortable.
So this one is definitely there. So, I mean, this stake I saw. It's not a stake, it's a medallion.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the drill right
into
the rock.
This one's definitely there.
Pretty visible.
I mean,
yeah, is this kind of out of the jurisdiction of our of Greg going and having a look at that? Is that
experience wise, Greg probably
he'd be the guy.
He would be the guy. Not that it's really under
doesn't
him.
Really fall under him, but
under his jurisdiction. But he's going to give you
he
the best
knows
advice.
Directions and measurements. And
so what you would like to measure is 66 feet from here to here.
That would be a start, and then
so essentially, I can tell you right now that 60 feet from here to here is definitely an impossible climb. But I mean,
yeah, and I see the other measurements down 43 meters. That would give us everything we would need to know there.
Yeah.
So
so you're suggesting that Greg goes?
Well, I was just wondering if it would help.
So would it not be good if we went with him and then he could explain?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I think that was the idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, unfortunately, that would delay the application for a bit, but we're trying to find positives to, you know. I personally feel a little negative on it, but then while we're there, we can go up and if you want to go up a little bit, Carolyn, again, with this. Okay, now, I went there, you can see a road going in this direction. Is that actually where that road, there's a traveled road goes in there right now? That's a really small road. Okay, so that's interesting too, because that's about when you kind of get up on the top of the hill. And you can have access. Now, you were thinking your future access into this lot would be in this area here?
It's not a road. It's, this is it's driveway, essentially. It's a driveway.
Yeah, that's a driveway. So
exactly.
That's what you would access in?
Yeah, that's exactly
your lot.
Absolutely.
You'd access their driveway?
No,
he
it's mine.
Oh, you own it. Okay.
He's just giving them a right of way.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay.
So there is an entrance already built by, and it goes to somewhere here.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good information. That's positive.
So definitely, you will see him.
Yeah, okay, let's look and pause. When you kind of go in there and you see all this rock on both sides and everything, and where are you going to access that? But that all makes sense to me from what I've seen. So, but if we want, council wants to go in and set up a date, we can go in and measure that out and to see whether. So, because we got to be ready for people coming forward. If we agree to it, they're going to say, oh, what are you doing, you know, selling a road allowance? We want to be able to say to them, oh, we were on site and we seen it. We know that it was totally inaccessible. So we want to be prepared for the critics.
Okay. So essentially, yeah. So anyway, it looks like you need to visit yourself. Because, I mean, before the meeting, I went there and took videos and concept, but I mean, it's irrelevant right now. I would rather you go and enjoy the nice weather. And
yeah, so you wouldn't need to be there. We could.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So again, help me understand. So essentially, what you're trying to determine, because I don't want to deviate too far, because again, from what I'm trying to do, and if it's way too complicated, and I mean, I'll just build here. That's it. Essentially, so if that component right here, like 66 feet from that stake, is not possible, then you're okay with conceptually with sale.
That's it. It would help, yeah.
We're willing to think about it then.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. We'll try to set up a time for us to go in. And
So that becomes a council meeting then, does it?
We're not passing anything. We're receiving information. So it's not really a meeting. It's my interpretation that you're not forwarding any council decision until you get back to the table. You're collecting information. Like if you go to an actual workshop and you're all there, that's not a council meeting.
No, but we're furthering the business of the municipality. I think we did this once on Lindsay Lane, and there was some issue with that.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to go in two and then three, or two and two and one? That's fine with me. Because you can't have three. You can't have the majority. If you feel that that's how it's going to be interpreted,
so
then we
can
go
you not say it's a meeting?
Separate times.
Can we
well, you can call a meeting on site. It's just that you lose some of the transparency because it's not a public meeting as such. So unless people are know about it, they can come and see what's happening.
So that's what it would be, and that was the reasoning behind the other issue, was that if the public knew it was an open, like the council was meeting, they could have come and heard the conversation,
right,
and
right.
They could have followed the discussion.
Yeah. It's always been a gray area, because we mentioned before, even with the committee of adjustment, when you go to look at the site to see, and lots of times the council would go as a group
mm-hmm.
to look at the site. And then, should council be doing that? Mind you, it wasn't council, I guess. They were committee of adjustment members, which is a little different. It's a committee. But they also have their rules, too. It's a fine line. But
to make it, I mean, it looks like it's complicated anyway, but I mean, what I can do, if I can actually uninterrupted videotape, I have a ruler right there connected, and an uninterrupted video ruler, like 66 feet, and show where it ends from that pin. So it's going to be presented and sent it to Carolyn, and she can actually project it. So essentially, if that's essentially, I can be done fairly quickly without going out. And once again, I understand integrity is very important, so that's why I will actually videotape the whole process with ruler being measured from that beam to 66 feet and show how it looks.
That would help,
yeah,
certainly.
That would be good.
Because
again,
it might take longer to organize your trip, even though it's a nice area. But at the same time, again, I can do that if you put it as a condition, so I definitely can do it tomorrow. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to make a decision tomorrow, but at least you can follow your normal procedure.
Yep.
And
then the invitation's still out there for individuals to
yeah, yeah, exactly.
To look
you can,
at.
You
yeah.
can go and...
Yep. Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah, sounds better.
Okay.
So I'll put this out as a... This is Councillor Ryland's motion and Councillor Haskin seconded. Whether you want deferral or how do you want to word this?
Yeah, I think so.
Deferral.
Okay. So we'll call the vote on deferral then. All those in favor of deferral? Okay, so that's carried.
And that means just putting it off until we get more information.
Right. And I'm just, because I'm here and just would like to provide as much as possible support. So once I provide that, do you need any other information, anything else? Because I mean, I understand you need to make an informed decision.
Right.
I provided my rationale.
Yeah.
But at the same time, so we need to make sure it works for everybody. So,
excellent.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. So the video would be excellent, and then we could each individually
yep.
on our own time just go out and confirm.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Staff report, bylaw 2023-06, monthly bylaw report, July 2023. Resolution 23-544. Move to Councilor Zulak, second to Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation Township Keller is hereby received report number bylaw 2023-06, the monthly bylaw report for July 2023 from bylaw enforcement officer Chris Everett. Discussion? Speak to the author. He's here tonight.
He's probably happy it's his last report, I bet.
No, I get one more.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Into this one.
I like the report. I like the detail. I like kind of the whole feel of it, actually, Chris. It's a very well-done report. Thank you. So
it's a work in process.
Yeah.
I've added the columns on the left. We've broken down into what types of...
Yeah.
Incidents?
Yeah.
I thought that was something that was good to know and see volumes.
And the detail you had actually helped help me understand your role and the difficulties of it and everything else and understand the human nature aspect of it, which was, for me, very helpful. I read it a couple times, actually, so...
Yeah, it'd be helpful for... somebody new coming on board in that position. Do you know if it's maybe what council would like to see?
You do have a typo at the top of page 3 where it says short-term, or it should say short-term rental. You're missing the T in rental.
Oh, Nick.
It's nothing. I think everybody knows what it means.
That's for a spell check.
Yeah.
No, I especially like that since you referenced it because... that is our approach at this point with the short-term rentals. To beef up just to see what is done. And you said it exactly, what we're trying to do. Enforce the bylaws that we can enforce, the noise, the fireworks, the fire. And it's letting the owners as well know what is happening. And I especially like the reference you made to the change in the official plan and the zoning bylaw. That's a major undertaking on our part. Right now I have about 5 or 6 different documents where we've had amendments, we've had appeals, and we're sitting there, we're back with 95-12, and even our official plan amendment number 9 has been, I would say, repealed. So we're back to square one, and we're going to be working with the planner to get all that straightened out. And if there happens to be some clauses come in with the short-term rental, that's what we'll insert them. And right now it's just very expensive, and it's probably something that we won't resolve this year because our planning situation too, we have to bring in somebody who's familiar with the documents and not start from square one. And that's where, as you say, a lot of the short-term rental policy will actually come from. I mean, it'll have to be put into the official plan and the zoning. And right now, those documents are, I would say, in a great disarray. They need a lot of updating. And of course, we want to get it straight with the public so that there aren't all kinds of appeals, and it doesn't go to the Ontario Land Tribunal and that sort of thing. We can do it in-house, we hope, and I know we can't satisfy everyone, but I think that's where the short-term rental will be dealt with. So at this point, we certainly appreciate what you've been doing, enforcing those things that people are complaining about, whether it be somebody renting or whether it be a homeowner. That's what you're actually doing, enforcing the bylaws. So.
That was an excellent summary, Mayor Moore. Are you going to be, we did receive an email from the president of the MLCA. Is that sort of the summary that will be going forward?
Well, the question, that particular thing, I just mentioned this because that email came in on a Sunday night, really too late for this meeting. We try to follow the procedural bylaw where people submit the Tuesday prior to. So that's why I'm just mentioning now, this was an appropriate time, a bit of coincidence really, but I think it does tie in with the concern that was expressed on Sunday night. And maybe Chris anticipated that, I don't know, but just as he talked about what he's doing, it's just excellent, I think. That's exactly what the township wanted him to do. Any other questions? Councilor Zulak, you had a question, you look.
No, I'm just, I don't have a question, I just have a comment. I think it's very good. Your report is very good. I just like to say that a lot of the stuff is dealing with short-term rentals. There's quite a few on here that are short-term rentals, and my feelings on that is there's a lot of warnings given, and I think maybe in the future it would be nice not to be giving the warnings, just to be fining them. But I know that's not up to you, Chris.
Well, what my approach is I only give the warning to the individuals who rented the place once. I also tell them that if I come back, I'm laying a charge on them. I'm telling them that the owner is getting a notice that there was an incident, and if it is again a second time, the owner is getting a fine. So I charge the owner. Now, I'm being accused in one case of being overzealous and being basically, and my opinion is, if you quit breaking the bylaw, I wouldn't be coming to you and laying charges. But they accuse me of being I guess it's a form of racism or
No, not at all.
No, but that's what they're accusing me of.
No. What I'm getting at is they're breaking the bylaw right off by renting, because the bylaw says they're not to rent.
Yeah, but I've charged the owners and the owner's daughter-in-law.
I know.
So, because they all do it. They're like, it's not just the one person. It's when their relatives are there, they get charged too.
Chris, do you then keep a log of, like, by property or by address or something like that, to know that you've previously given a warning on a place?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And would that be available to your replacement, if that's the word I'm going to use, the person who takes over as a bylaw enforcer?
Yeah, I keep a log of, for example, winter parking.
Okay.
They're all allowed one time to be parked on the road and not be towed. The second time that they're parked on the road, I when I give them the ticket, that's their warning. And I tell them that with a letter that says, this is your warning. Next offense, you will be tagged and towed. And I keep a log of that so that when I go back there, I do the same thing for fires.
Okay.
If I have somebody burning during the daytime at such and such a location, I log that so that if I have to go back there, unless it's changed owners, then they're not going to get any warning. But I give them all one warning to start with.
And this is in a book?
No, it's in an electronic file.
Okay.
That I also print out
okay.
and keep
with you.
in the car with me so that I can have immediate access to it to realize. So I can't remember everything.
No, of course
not. I'm getting older and I'm getting less remembering things, so I have to refer to the paper.
And that would be accessible to your replacement?
Yes, it will
okay.
be. It will be given to the clerk.
Yeah.
And both electronically and
paper.
On paper.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Councilor Zulak?
And this is ongoing, right? It's not just for this year.
No.
Yeah, that's for all
right
the years
from the,
past.
From,
okay.
from when I started in July of 2021.
So in 2021, if you went to a noise complaint and it was a rental, they got a warning, and it will show up if you're going back again this year.
Yes. Now, it was a long time before I started sending out the letters to the owners of the property. That was something that when we went to try and prosecute an owner, that our prosecutor recommended that we have a letter on file that we addressed it with the owner, so that if we ever had to go to court, we would have a letter saying that you had been informed that that you were aware of a noise problem. That they had been charged, and if in the future you as property owner, who is ultimately responsible for everything that goes on in your property, regardless of whether you're there or not, unfortunately you own it, you are responsible, so you will be charged. Nobody's fought it yet since that one, since the one lady that I first charged did go to court and appeared.
And you mentioned that there may be a couple in the future that you may have to come back for?
Well, there's two going on. Well, no, one is a threat that they're going to, I gave a violation for noise, and she said she was going to take it to court. That's
yeah.
her right.
Yeah.
So I may have to attend it first offense, her first attendance is done by Zoom.
Okay.
And the second one is a zoning issue. And again, first offense will be, or first meeting will be by Zoom. And then it's up to them whether they want to settle it out of court or whether they want to go to trial.
Yeah.
And if we go to trial, then I'll have to, I don't know if I can do it by Zoom or if I have to come to here to do trial.
Yeah, so all you're requesting is that council cover expenses and the,
yeah.
Okay.
I will make myself available for what the court dates that are going to be.
Okay. Certainly appreciate all that you've done in this organization. It's nice to know there's somebody out there that you know they can call on if there are problems. And I guess the question is, what size are your shoes? I mean, can they fill them?
No, they're pretty small.
Oh, okay. Well, they'll have to do well anyway. So, we certainly appreciate all that you've done and over the years, and I'm sure it hasn't been easy for you. And as you say, even with you to juggle your personal life with this, and always being dedicated to the township and following. You know, all the complaints, you want to do what's best for the township, which is excellent. We certainly applaud that and appreciate it.
Yeah, as I always said, and I've always told you and everybody else, is my goal is to get compliance.
Yeah.
Not to charge people, but to get compliance.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal of the bylaw, as far as I was concerned, right from day one.
Excellent. Well, we'll be in touch, certainly.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming over here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? You know what you're voting for, right? Right. And if you don't, you're not letting on. Okay. Onto accounts payable, preliminary check run. We got resolution 23-545, moved by Councilor Hackman, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation, Township of McKellar, hereby receive the accounts payable preliminary check run report for July 2023 for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Ryan.
There's a number of weird formatting things, like if you notice on page one, for example, there is no budgeted figures on these numbers. That doesn't persist all the way through, although it does kind of appear and disappear throughout the report, which makes it very...
Yeah, there never used to be anything, so I was appreciative that now that some are showing up.
I know, and you know, I'm not wanting it to be perfect, but there is sections where the budget does appear, and I don't really know why. I know Roshan isn't here to answer the question, but you know, it would be helpful anyhow if it had the budgets as well. So, and my other question is simply because I don't know the answer: how often do we get a report that indicates the budgets versus the actuals, whatever you might call that report?
Well, it should be year to date, what we've spent so far.
Quarterly.
Okay. And when was the last one we had? I couldn't find one anyhow. I'm admitting that I was looking through mounds of paper, but, you know, and it's quite possible it was there, but I don't recall it either. That's my point.
Okay.
And again, more important than this, which deals with obvious issues, but I mean an overview that said kind of where are we at with our budgets, how much have we spent, and you know, are we over or under, and you know, what the final position is, because that's
which we're getting. It's been delayed a little bit, I've been told, because of
the forensic audit. Yeah,
the forensic audit.
Yeah,
but it'll be coming, I think Roshan said, in September. So it's delayed somewhat, but good question. It's there. He's working on it.
Sure.
As he finds the time to deal with what their requests are as well.
And another anomaly on the very first item that's reported, the amount that was paid, $91.27, is not as great as the year-to-date balance, which is kind of odd as well. I mean, it's not really a criticism. It's a curiosity. I mean,
I have a few of those too. So
do you?
Well, many
okay.
times.
I've got lots of small comments. None of them are, I'm not critical. I'm just pointing out that there's some idiosyncrasies in the document, that's all.
Oh, yeah, and page 21 is a good example.
Okay.
All of those checks that have been written for various reasons. First of all, they're saying miscellaneous, which we questioned before. We don't like that category. But also, as you go down the right-hand side, the numbers never change, even though numbers are coming out each time as you take more things from the budget. And they're exact same numbers. So that's a concern.
When I have talked to Roshan casually about these things, I know he expresses frustration with the software being used for this. And I suggested to him, if he doesn't like it, that he should come and give us a report and say that and identify what a solution is and how much that might cost. Because I don't want this to be a hugely frustrating exercise. I'm sure it already is. To Roshan, I'd like to find a good way that we could do this and accomplish it without a lot of work or oversight to produce this or any other budget report. So,
yeah, that's fair enough. And the part of his report might be, what are there other townships using?
Yeah.
And are they finding them more user-friendly? Or I'm not sure. So.
Yeah, and I think he did have some, I'll call it a notion of what it was that he wanted. I don't recall what it was. I mean, I don't really need to as long as he does, but I would like to see him, if he believes this is part of the problem here, to identify it and come up with a solution. I'm sure there's money attached to that, but, you know, I don't want this to be such an onerous task that he dreads it every month. So,
yeah. I know that he has expressed his concern about having an integral system rather than what we've got right now.
Yeah.
Doing... even just doing a bank reconciliation that should be so simple, he's now bouncing back and forth between two programs that don't work
don't
together.
Talk. Yeah,
and it's very time consuming and frustrating.
Anyway, I don't. I mean, if you want to ask Roshan, at least if he does want to do that, I'd be happy to, you know, look at whatever he's got or whatever he's suggesting, because I can imagine, well, just for me looking at this is frustrating. I'm sure it's twice as bad for him, 10 times as bad for him. So,
so is that a recommendation for this upcoming year's budget for some software for Roshan? Or
I think so. I think we're probably good. It's quite likely we're going to hear that from the forensic auditors as well. That juggling between the two programs is just...
It's intolerable.
Yes.
it
is.
And that's a word I don't think I heard him say, but that's
yes.
the word he felt, I'm sure.
And unfortunately, the tax component that we have, it was sold as being very easy.
Hmm.
And it is. It's extremely easy. But it's extremely easy to make mistakes as well. And when you make a mistake in that tax program, you don't even know you've done it.
Hmm.
Whereas with the other, when we had the assist program, as soon as you went to post something, it would always give you a warning.
Mm.
Are you sure?
Mm.
Or, you know, doing this will create da 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 da.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas with the tax one, they thought if a mistake's made, Roshan's digging for it at the end of the month, trying to find out where
okay.
it was. It's just, it's gone.
Okay.
That's okay. Looking at the supplier of the fuel for the public works, at one time it was mentioned that there was going to be a change in the vendor.
Greg had mentioned to us about that, and I know different times when we've talked to him about it, he says, oh, I have to get a hold of them.
Oh, okay.
And we've never received anything more.
So would something like that be put out as a...
I think that probably... If you, I know he was talking about McDougal Fuel as far as the, they do the furnace oil, and the diesel.
Okay.
I think it would be the amount that we go through. It would have to go out as a tender.
And just looking at now the porta potty rentals now is getting close to. $839 a month,
mm-hmm.
and that's for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Every 10 years, that's $40,000 approximately.
Mm-hmm.
To look at some other options, long-term options. At one point, it wasn't, you know, seemed quite reasonable. Now we're getting close to $4,000 a year. Just to, I think, during budget discussions, to look at different options.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they exactly? Do you know?
At Minerva Park.
Is that the only place?
And there's one out here, I think.
Yeah, one down
okay.
here.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured Minerva would be on that list, but anyhow. Okay.
The only thing with that is we have the porta potty here. We have washrooms here. We don't open the washrooms because they're vandalized. So if we put washrooms at Minerva Park, they're going to be vandalized.
Right.
So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
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 Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of having the washrooms if you keep them locked?
Right. No,
that's all.
Yeah.
Can I ask just a question on page 10, Ina? I don't know if you know this, but there's an item here for $6,000 for audit documentation. Is that related to our routine audit, or is that related to the forensic audit?
That's the routine audit, I think,
PowerPoint.
Oh, yeah, of course it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Duh,
yes.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay. And is that a one-time thing, or is that just part of the cost? I mean, I could see the year-to-date balance, if indeed it's correct, of $49,000, but...
I would have to confirm with him, but that's probably for our final, for the 2022 year.
Okay.
But I
did try calling him, but I never got a hold of him, and that's my fault as much as anybody else's. So anyway, one other thing on page 11, it's not really related directly to the expense, but it's engineering services inspections for in-home fridge. I know Greg is the only one that can answer that, but there was a post on Facebook yesterday with people taking a photo of the water buildup on the road, and I know that was discussed earlier,
mm-hmm.
But my recollection was that we were going to get the contractor come back and repave
yes.
so that it didn't.
Yes.
But clearly they didn't by yesterday.
They haven't. No, they haven't yet.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge, they have not. But I know that Greg had made arrangements
okay.
for them to be coming back to repair it.
Because the concern by the whoever raised
mm-hmm.
the issue was that obviously if it froze like that in
mm-hmm.
the winter, it would make the bridge...
Right.
A death trap, right?
Which is
so,
why we keep a 10% holdback.
Okay.
That doesn't get paid in full until
okay.
we're 100% satisfied.
But as long as it gets followed up before it starts freezing,
yes.
that's all. So.
Yeah, for sure.
We're realizing that our
goes at a snail's pace in many cases with contracts.
Yeah.
They come back when they reach their number one priority list, not necessarily ours, and that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Now, as you said, that opening day, Greg mentioned that
yeah.
was going to be
yeah.
very slow. But, of course, getting the people back there to do it, that's the problem.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just done by winter.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to drive across it, that's for sure.
On page 6, it's just a little off the top, but it talks about the recycling at the top, 919. The recycling contract. I'm wondering if it's possible, now maybe you can correct me on this, maybe it's already been done. I noticed Whitestone did it recently. They've actually got a sign up on what should be recycled, because there's some confusion there, I think, even with the transfer station attendant, on what should be going into plastics. And I'm wondering if there could be something, some kind of a sign from the recycling company, perhaps,
yeah.
indicating what product should actually go into recycle and which one shouldn't. Because depending on who the attendant is, sometimes one piece of plastic is not
sure.
the same as another piece of plastic.
Yeah.
And so some won't break down, some can't be recycled, and they have to go into the regular garbage. So I'm wondering if the company who collects it, rather than getting contaminated bins, if they can actually tell us, you know, what is acceptable in this bin.
Yeah.
That would help.
That seems
okay.
like a good suggestion for sure.
Yep.
Anything else on the check runs? I had a couple, but as you say, it'd be up to the Rokan to answer.
Yeah.
Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? I did read this.
Yes, you did.
Already done 17.3 and 17.4, which is actually 20.1. So we have the letter from the McKellar Dentric Pastoral Charge. And resolution 23-546, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar does hereby receive the letter dated July 31st, 2023, from Goldie Ladd, Treasurer of the McKellar Dentric Pastoral Charge, requesting relief of the 2023 property taxes on the manse. Further, that the Treasurer is authorized to write out the 2023 taxes on United Church manse, roll number 003-24,000. And further, that staff contact Ms. Ladd to direct her to contact MPAC, Municipal Property Assessment Corporation, about an exemption for the manse. Discussion?
How much money are we talking about?
Probably over 1,000 now. It's getting up there. What used to be 800, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with it, especially for that. I mean, it would be useful to have it in the resolution, but it's not really the point. So.
Well, the concern is, and it's come up for decades now, I guess,
yeah.
it's a joint pastoral charge,
yeah.
and Whitestone doesn't pay anything. We write off the taxes every year.
Mm.
So why aren't they, because they also have a church in Dutchurch and a church here. And they just say, no, we're not doing it. So I don't know what you do with it, how you deal with it. You certainly want to help the manse. And as far as that, either the first I've seen that on there to contact MPAC, my understanding has always been that the church is tax exempt, but a manse is not. Now, if there's something changed in the legislation, I'd be interested in knowing that. I'm not sure whether MPAC has made an adjustment. If so, that's rather interesting. There aren't too many manses left, actually. Mostly, you just pay for their housing, but so somebody might have a lead on something that I'm not aware of.
Roshan had made that recommendation, so maybe he knows something that we don't. But he asked for the church to contact MPAC after, just so they can get an exemption, so they don't have to keep coming back to council year after year to write up the taxes.
Oh, I see. That's what he means. Not that they don't pay tax.
Know that they have an exemption through MPAC.
I'm a little confused then. Exemption for what? That they don't have to come back every year? Or is it
yeah, so he said that churches can contact MPAC to have, I don't know
right.
what it does to
Progress,
the assessment
yeah.
value,
yeah.
but
yeah.
They're not taxed.
Churches aren't.
That's for the church, right?
Right.
Just for the
so
manse.
I'm not sure if the manse is different, but it wouldn't hurt contacting MPAC just to make sure. But that's
yeah.
what he recommended.
No problem with it. It's just it's unfortunate if If it's recent change, that's okay. If it's been in the books for years, we've lost some money.
Mm.
But yes.
In the letter itself, it says at the top, to Reeve and Council regarding United Church Cements 2 Lakeshore Road, please update your records 3-9 Lakeshore Road. So
yeah, it is 2.
It's 2.
So I'm not sure of the instruction from Goldie Ladd. I wouldn't update the, because I think the records are correct now. 2. Unless the civic address sign is incorrect. It says 2.
Okay.
And the first paragraph as well, it's 2023 property taxes.
Yeah.
I would assume.
So maybe she's made it. Oh, no, I guess not. No, she says update your record.
But I think what has happened is in this, it's probably a form letter that's on the computer and
yeah.
cut and paste and
yeah.
missed a couple things.
2023 taxes is written in the subject
right.
line, but that's yes, in the body of the letter it does say 2022.
Yeah. Any further discussion on that? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. Moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, Council of the Corporation and Township of McKellar, does hereby give bylaw number 2023-60, being a bylaw to stop up and close part of the original road allowance between concession 5, lot 34, and concession 4, lot 34, Township of McKellar, District of Prairie Sound, and to accept the conveyance of portions of concession 5, lot 35, Harris, a first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed an open council this 15th day of August 2023. Discussion? I don't know whether anybody has stayed. Oh, yes, Ms. Harris is here. So you've done well. You can outlast us.
Hopefully, we've covered all our questions at this point, the number of times we've been there.
I don't know. If you have any particular questions?
No, I don't have. Well, unless you decide you're not going to do it, I'll spend my money.
I think everything's moving, like we just said, slowly at times to get everything done.
Well, that's fully understandable.
Yeah.
And if you do approve tonight, then I will go see the lawyer to turn over the deed for the road as well as the two pieces of property which you requested, get that going back in this direction.
Excellent. Sounds good.
Okay.
So the survey's all been done and everything is pathetic there. Okay.
Copy of it here. You got a copy now? Registered, what have you.
Yeah. Okay. Any further questions from council? We certainly appreciate your initiative on this, and I think it'll be, benefit all.
I think it's good for both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, call the question. All in favor? None opposed. Carried.
Thank you.
Was it worth the wait?
Thank you for your patience.
Finish business. Or do you want to comment on anything there? Or? I think the explanation is given in each case, which is good. So. And on to new business, and then we'll go to committee.
Can I just ask
yes.
about the Kojiko one, given that it says no response in June, but I mean, here we are in August. So they just simply not answered.
Kojiko,
still
I have
no response again.
Sorry?
Still no response again.
Okay. Unbelievable.
Well, I think with Kojiko, weren't they talking to Dan at some point and he had information to pass on to us? But
no, this is a different
one. Okay.
It's from September 2022. They had provided us with an agreement for one of the towers.
Okay.
It was an agreement that's renewed every 10 years.
Mm.
So we were working towards renewing that agreement, and the agreement has been sent to Kojiko for their review, but obviously they just have never responded to our comments, which is unfortunate, but I will hassle them again to send a response. But they've had some staff turnover and reorganization, and they said don't expect a response soon.
Well, I'm just wondering, this is a tower over at the Fire Station 1?
Yes.
They're still using the equipment over there, I guess, everything, with,
yes.
without an agreement now? Should they not be concerned about...
You would think they would be more concerned than the township, but
yeah.
that's not the case.
Hmm. They would be if one of our staff members was going to be dismantling it by the end of the week.
Hey, take a picture of somebody up on the tower.
I like the visual for that, but yeah, that's cool. So. That's cute, Mike. That's cute.
Okay, any committees, meetings, boards, reports? Councilor Hassel?
Quick report, really, just a couple of things, and Carly touched on our swimming lessons is finished, and as you can see, the attendance was quite good, and we just had the year-end bowl barbecue for the kids and parents last night, so that program wrapped up and successful, and volunteer looking after that is might be getting out of it next year or two, so he's already getting a couple of volunteers kind of to continue with the program going forward, so that all seems to be going well. And then the 150 of the events, they had the art gala on August 6th, and I guess that turned out really well. I wasn't there, but I've heard citizens saying that it was quite good, so yeah, all the activities seem to be going along quite well.
Good. Anyone else? I've had the Recreation and Cultural Center meeting canceled for August. It's into September, so I have nothing to report on there. And the planning board, too, I guess, was canceled.
Was canceled, yeah.
So it'll be at the end of this month, mm-hmm. sometime then. Okay. On to the consent agenda, correspondence of Resolution 23-548, with Councilor Zulak, second with Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Discussion? Anything you want to pull out of there to discuss? Mm-hmm. Councilor Ryan?
The one from the municipality of South Huron, about the freedom of information stuff. Do we face the same issues that are documented in here in terms of, you know, people misusing it and or abusing it?
We don't deal with it very much. I've had two requests this year, and both of them were requests that there was nothing to report.
Okay.
I just contacted the people to let them know that it was a civil matter.
Okay.
And that the township had no information on it. So it
certainly seems quite onerous and or even malicious in some cases there,
mm-hmm.
anyway. And
mm-hmm.
I've never heard that anywhere. But then again, how would I or why would I? But anyway, okay. I mean, it was just a concern. So.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Touch wood. Freedom of information.
There's
has
wood right
been,
beside you.
has been very quiet for the past 2 years.
Good.
Nice.
I'm glad to hear that. So.
Yes.
Okay. Any other concerns there? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Any questions from the public in person or on Zoom?
You left there.
We've got invisible participants.
Hearing none, we have Resolution 23-549, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Hassman. Be it resolved, Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-61, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed at open Council this 15th day of August 2023. All question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-550, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar adjourned this meeting at 8:48 p.m. to meet again on September the 5th, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor?